All right, we're going to have Sam to lead us in a word of prayer, please. Glad to see everybody this evening. We're studying in Joel, and I don't want to go on with this a long time, but I do want to give more attention to Joel. So as we look at the chapters, look at the first chapter, and we'll just review it very quickly. And most of you were involved in that study Sunday. What is the episode that Joel uses? What has happened? What? A swarm of locusts. That's right. And how big a deal is this locust swarm? And what does he challenge the people to do? Remember when there has been another one like this. This is really bad. So that's what he talks about. And in the rest of chapter 1, he talks about, like in verse 15, look at that, in verse 15. So, Scott, in verse 15, what does he say? All right, the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, there have been many days of the Lord. And a day of the Lord is both a day of deliverance and also a day of chastisement. So they it means the same thing. And so we'll see this like in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2 and verse 2, or verse 1. Mike, can you read that? See that? So that day of the Lord is a very significant thing as he talks about it. And we already looked at a few things in this chapter. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, what does he say? Earl, you want to read a little bit of that in verse 4? I think that's a good choice of words, because when grasshoppers are chewing, they make a sound kind of like the burning, kind of like burning. And as he described these things in verse 7, go ahead and read verse 7 a little bit, Earl. All right, so these are grasshoppers, big grasshoppers. They're probably around that long. They're around that long. We've probably seen some grasshoppers that big, haven't we? But not a plague of them. So look in verse 11. Look in verse 11. This is chapter 2 and verse 11. All right. Yeah, go ahead. So what do we have here? Another emphasis on what? The day of the Lord. See that? So it's very, very interesting. All right. Now in verse 12, Joel says, "Yet even now, saith the Lord, turn you unto me with your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." And then I really like this, Steve. Can you look in verse 13? You know, 2:13. Okay, so he said, "Rend your heart and not your garment." So what do the people often do? Tear their garment. And I've read that they even had a seam so that they had to do it a good bit. You know, rip, 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 rip. He says, no, rend your heart, not your garments. When they rent their heart, what would that involve? Inward repentance. That's exactly right. And in verse 15, let's look at that. Scott, let me let you read a few verses there. 15 through 16. All right, so who all does this involve? Just across, you see, a cross section of the people of the land. You see that? It's a cross-section of the people of the land. Now, as he goes on, Scott, let look a little bit further. So, who are these calling upon the Lord? These are the priests. Now then, there is a change. Ryan, can you read in verse 18? All right. Let me go ahead and say a word or two here. Comment. In verse 18, now the American Standard says, "Then was Jehovah jealous for his people, as if it is an accomplished fact." Now your text is saying, "Will do it," right? Okay, will do it. And like in verse 19, "The Lord answered and said unto his people, Behold," now here, "Behold, I will send you grain and you wine and oil, you will be satisfied with therewith." And what does he say? What does God promise he's going to do? Remove their reproach from them, you see? Remove their reproach from them. Now, Ryan, go ahead and read in verse 20. I think that northern army at this point is the Assyrians. Earlier, they were the enemy. And so as we go ahead, I'm wanting to go ahead now and get to some verses 28.
Is this kind of based on that? I guess it's kind of based on the comparison of the grasshoppers and
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. He is drawing a comparison. What he's saying is, this army is bad, but it's not near as bad as the army God is going to bring on you if you don't repent. See, that's the idea. That's exactly right. So that's what he's calling upon them to do. And he makes all sorts of promises that of renewal. God makes promises of renewal. Now, I want to go to verse 28. And this is really special because I want you to go to something else here. A comparison. We're going to go ahead and read here in Acts 2. Joel 2:28. No, Joel 2:28. Mike, you want to read that? Joel 2:28 through the end of the chapter. All right, so in this passage, the remnant in the Old Testament, the remnant is the saved, those that are going to be redeemed. That's the idea. Now, I want you to turn to Acts 2, and I want you to see that one of the most important things is that Joel 2 is quoted in Acts 2. Okay? So look at verse 17 through 21. All right. Let me see. Steve, you want to go ahead and read that? All right, so now kind of analyze this. We're studying from Joel 2, but we're also studying in Acts 2 because this Joel 2 is quoted there in Acts 2. And so when he says, it shall be in the last days. Now, what are the last days? The last days of redemption. In other words, what's about to happen? God is going to redeem his saints. And what Peter is preaching is he is about to do it. He is about to do it. So he says, it shall be in the last days, saith the Lord. I will, and what does he say, Steve? I will pour forth my spirit upon what? Now, we need to define all mankind. You know, people will say, well, I'll make up my mind. No, we're not making up our mind. What are we doing? Seeing what the Bible says. So let's see what it is. So he says, I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh. Now that's what we're going to define, what we're going to let the Bible define. So what does he say in the next part of the verse? And your sons, right? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now we have men and women. And in just last part of verse 17, what? And your old men. So who is this? The young and the old. God is going to bring His Spirit upon all men, young and old. And look at verse 18. What does he say? And I like the way your reference there read, Steve. Now, one of the things, a lot of people say this, I'm not sure how valid this is, that God never poured His Spirit or inspired somebody who was a slave. See? One of the reasons why I kind of leery about saying that is, who was a man that was a very prominent man, who was also a kind of, not a bondservant exactly, but he was a Daniel. So I'm reluctant to make that, and yet maybe that is the point that he's making, because he does say that. Upon my handmaids, among my servants, my handmaids, will I pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, what you have to do here is say that, what you have to do here is say, when did this happen? And I believe that what he says here begins in verse 17. What we're going to have is 40 years. 40 years. This is going to take 40 years to fulfill. It's going to begin in about AD 30. And it's going to continue until AD 70. About 40 years. This promise is going to occupy about 40 years. Isn't that remarkable? And that's what he says. Now look at what he says in verse 19. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath. What are these signs, Earl? What are these signs there in verse 19? I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth. On the earth beneath. You see that? In the heavens above and on the earth beneath. And he says, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This language is used very often in Old Testament passages. And it is when God is going to bring distress upon the nations, Isaiah does this, Amos does this, in the Old Testament, many will talk about this. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Why does this fit? When destruction is going on, what happens? I mean, actual destruction is going on. What happens? Things burn, don't they? Right? Things burn. When the sky is burning, what happens? Clouds go up. What do the clouds do? They darken the sky. See that? So that's what this is talking about. This is the language of punishment. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And in verse 21, what does it say? Whosoever what? Shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this is from Acts 2. I mean, from Acts 2 to AD 70. So I think that's really interesting. All right, let me look at something else here. I marked passages, but I didn't mark them all because I don't have that many markers. I want you to look now at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Yeah. All right, Matthew 24. In verses 1, let's see. Let me get somebody else. Mike, can you read that for me? Begin in verse 1 and read through verse 3. Verse 2. Yeah, 1 and 2. Now, understand that when Jesus was talking about this, the apostles, he had been talking about Jerusalem, the building of Jerusalem itself. And he had talked about one stone will not be left on another. And they said, they were thinking, Lord, how can you say that? You're talking about an utter destruction. Surely that's not going to happen. And what does he say? He does not say, oh, you misunderstood me. He's saying that's exactly what's going to happen. You see that? So Acts 2 and Matthew 24, and there are many other passages in the Old Testament. So let's go ahead a little bit further. Now, in verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, what we have to understand is that Jesus is going to answer this in his own way and in his own time. And he's not going to unfold everything. He's going to unfold what they're ready for. And they asked questions. They misunderstood some of these questions. What shall be the sign of thy coming? They thought that Jesus was going to come back before long. I think they were thinking that he would come back before long. And so he said, now beware, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. And I like to point out that the Jehovah's Witnesses say, see there? Well, what does he say? For these things must need to come to pass, but what? The end is not yet. Not yet. Exactly the opposite of what the witnesses say. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and earthquakes in divers places. But all these things are the beginning of travail. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read a few things here just to get it before us. All right. In verse 7, look at that. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and earthquakes in diverse places. But all these things are the beginning of travail. All right. Look on in verse 15. Scott, can you read a little bit further? 15.
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, as the reader understands, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
You see, it's not saying let them go to heaven. Where is it saying go? Go to the mountains. Why? Because there you may find refuge. Let him flee unto the mountains. And go ahead and read a little bit further.
Let him who is on the housetop not tear down the good things that are in his house. Let him who is in the field not turn back to his clothes. Woe to those who are the child and those who are faith in these days.
So it's really going to be I want you to read a little bit further. Begin in verse 29 now. You see, again, this same language of an overthrow of a whole system, and an overthrow of a whole economy. And I'm using economy in a more classical sense. This is what's going to happen. And then in verse 34, what does he say? All right, I want to look at something else here. Yeah. If you will, please turn to Acts 15. I'm weaving together a whole lot of things. All of this has to do with one another. In Acts 15, look in verse 14. You can look in your margin. Do you see the passage there? You see a reference to the passage? Amos 9, 11, and 12. You see that? Amos 9, 11, and 12. That's where this passage is going to be quoted from. Now he says, and we'll read this. Jamie, you want to read a little bit? All right, read there in verse 16. All right, hold on, because I want to make a point and emphasize a few points. What does he say that he's going to do? He's going to do what now? Restore the tabernacle of David, which is fallen? What does do you all understand what this is going back to? This is going back to the what? The promise to David. The promise to David. You remember that David's descendants ruled and they were strong, and then the kingdom kind of fell apart. It fell apart, and the kingdom ended. There was no great victory or anything like that. So when you look in the Old Testament, you'd say, well, what happened to the promise of David? What would you say? Well, it looked like it fell apart. It just didn't come to any good at all. So what does he say here? What does God say? I'm going to do. Restore again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. You see that? Boy, that's exciting. That's what he's going to do. Now, there are some other things I want you to notice here. So, all right. So go ahead and read a little bit more. All right, now notice, after these things I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen, and I will set it up. And what did you say? What's the next words? That's right. Now, if you will go back, I know I'm turning a lot, and I want you all to see these things. Let me go back. Amos. All right, look in Amos, and we're going to find where Amos is quoted there in Acts 15. So, can you read that? All right, in Acts, Amos 9, verses 11 and 12. All right, now what is God saying here? The promise he's making here is, I will set up again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. Now notice further a little bit. The remnant of Edom. The remnant of Edom. All right, look back now in Acts 15, and let's compare. So he says, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and close up the ruins thereof, and I will rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. So, all right, so let me see. Yeah. All right, that's what I'm noting. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. I've told you all before that Edom is used as a symbol of the unregenerate. It is. Often, it is used as a symbol of the unregenerate. Who was used as a symbol of the regenerated? Those that were faithful. Judah. But Esau, or Edom, was used as a symbol of the unregenerate. These are the ones that are not going to come to God. Oh, that's very exciting to me. And I hope it is to you. I'm showing you a lot of things here that you wouldn't have an opportunity to know. So I hope that it means something to you. All right, so let's go back to Joel 2 now. And we see Joel 2 fulfilled in Acts 2. And the bottom line in verse 32, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, and among the remnant whom the Lord doth call. In the Old Testament, the remnant is the faithful. The faithful. That's who the remnant is. And, you know, you all could name some of the people that were among the remnant. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Queen Esther, many, Mordecai, and going on. That was the remnant. God was preserving himself a remnant. Sometimes we don't give God the credit he deserves. For 2,000 years, he's been doing all of this. Do we give him credit? I don't think we give him credit. We need to admire him and worship him for what he does. All right, so let's go ahead now in Joel 3. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring back the captivity of Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations. All right, Earl, can you read that? In verse, let's see, in verse 2. All right, now let's think about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is formed of two parts. Jeho, and I wonder what that is, what that stands for. Jehovah. And Shaphat means judge. So what does Jehoshaphat mean? The judgment of the Lord. You see that? The judgment of the Lord. So what is this valley of Jehoshaphat going to be? It's going to involve the judgment of the Lord. The judgment of the Lord on those who will not accept his way. We need to understand what will be our lot if we reject the Lord. And if we reject his ways, what will happen to us? We won't be in the remnant, will we? We will not be in the remnant. He says, I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will execute judgment upon them there for my people and for my heritage in Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have parted my land and have cast lots on my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Yea, and what are ye to me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? You will pay me back. You want to punish me? This is God speaking. He can do whatever he wants. He does justly. But he's going to say, are you thinking of punishing me? You're not going to be able to do that. So, what are ye to me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Will you render to me a recompense? And if you recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense among your own head. And let's read a little bit further here. All right, who's doing the reading? Were you reading? All right. Read in verse
5 through 8. All right, read it a little bit further now. All right, now let me say, Isaiah has a passage where he says, beat your swords into plowshares and your swords into plowshares and your pruning hooks. In other words, the opposite of what this is saying. So Isaiah is saying there's going to be a time of peace. But what is God saying here? He's saying, do your best. Do your best. You're going to oppose me. That's what he's saying. You're going to oppose me. Well, do your best. And what do you think is going to happen when they do their best to overcome God? They're not going to do it. Do you all ever think about what happened to Philistia? Do you ever think about what happened to Edom? What happened to those countries, those nations? They're gone. They're gone. So it's impressive to me. So he says in verse 12, let the nations bestir themselves and once again come to the valley of what? Jehoshaphat, meaning the judgment of Jehovah. Let them come. Do their best. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision for, and look again, the day of the Lord. See that? Once again, the day of the Lord. And in verse 15, look at that. Mike, can you look at that? Look at the verse 15. At least three times in this general passage, in this book, this symbol is used three times. The sun and the moon are darkened. The stars withdraw their shining. And then what does it say, Mike? All right. Just go ahead and read the rest of it. All right, now let me make a point. If you'll see that passage and just learn to look for it, Jerusalem shall be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Be aware of how often that statement is found in the Old Testament. God is going to look after his children, and there will not be an invasion. We think about this. No, you think about people you have who have died and gone to be with the Lord. Is anybody going to invade heaven? Anybody going to try to take it over? So what can we say about those who have already departed to be with the Lord? They're safe. Nobody's going to take them. So that's the promise that God is making. And where is he making here? In Joel. But Joel's in the Old Testament. That's all right. I've told you all before, the whole Bible is one. The whole Bible is one. I don't mean one covenant. There are two covenants. But the promise of God, the plan of God, is one plan. A great plan from beginning to end. So, I really like that. All right. Now, let's see. Let's go ahead and read a little bit further. In verse 18. All right, now in verse 19, what nation is mentioned again? Egypt and what else? Edom. Do you see how Edom is used as a symbol of the unregenerated? Now, I think that's very plain in Acts 15. There, it's the remnant of mankind, whereas in the Old Testament, the remnant of Edom. See that? Mankind. Okay. All right. Thank you.